What's up, humans? Welcome to another episode of Shots from the Winchester podcast, brought to you by Greencastle Consulting, your nation's premier strategy execution firm. I'm your host, Al Green, and today we're going to have a conversation with Pat Bregan and Danny Thiel. We're going to have a conversation about legacy to cloud-based systems. And now this is kind of really important, especially for like utility companies and larger businesses that are looking to transition from some of the older systems, maybe some of the systems that they have on site, to cloud-based systems and how we do that, especially here at Greencastle. So let's get to learn a little bit about, let's talk to Pat first. Like, Pat, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do here at
Greencastle. Yeah. Pat Bregan, I lead our ACES team. I've been here about 4 years now. I'm also our Q&P lead for process improvement. I started here initially at a small company, a client called DocuVault, doing process improvement. It really just kind of launched me off from there. But I've been lucky enough in my time here to basically almost touch every single client that we have, nice. Especially with ACES. So I've been a part of some of these cloud migrations. I've been a part of app developments, and they all kind of touch in the same different areas. You know, they deal with the data and they deal with you know, moving stuff across and the same issues that you might see just on different scales. So I've been lucky enough, like I said, to work across a lot of these different companies and clients through different things. So
nice. And Danny?
Yeah, so first I gotta say I'm jealous of Pat's handheld mic. I don't know what to do with my hands. But I've been here, I came here shortly after Pat, so about 3.5 years ago. I've had the opportunity to bounce around to a few different departments here at Greencastle. So have a heavy background in data analytics and the technical side of our service offerings. I've done some process improvement projects as well. And most recently been overseeing our relationship with one of our clients. So really all the service offerings, which is strategy execution, operational improvement, and then data analytics, all those service offerings we would do for any of our clients. So for one of our major clients, it's my job to make sure that we do those things well and that they're receiving a positive ROI on their investment by working with Greencastle. So prior to coming to Greencastle, I served in the United States Air Force. I was in an operations support role, so you could think of agency coordination, basically making sure that all the right pieces move to the right places at the right time, similar to project management that could be used for a legacy to cloud-based transition. So in between the Air Force and Greencastle, I was a co-founder of an e-commerce company, and yeah, looking forward to diving into this today.
Nice. Now, this is going to be a fun conversation because I think there's a lot of companies out there that don't understand how to do this. I feel like some of them feel like there's a security issue when it comes to moving something from a legacy, which was like on-site type servers, to an online type of server, like a cloud server. Can you guys just jump in? Let's just jump into the first question here. How does a company like a utility company move from an older legacy system into a cloud system? Anyone?
Yeah. So Al, you mentioned some security risks with data, right? There's going to be a lot of risks, mm-hmm. whether they're security, budget overruns, personnel. So one thing I'd throw out up front is just good risk mitigation, mm-hmm. risk management. Mm-hmm. So something we refer to a RAID log, tracking risk issues, key decisions, things of the sort. Basically, what that comes down to is proper governance. Mm-hmm. So are you planning for, are you seeing these risks out in front before they hit you? Mm-hmm. So you're not reacting to them. So I'll lead in with that just to say proper governance is important for decision making, risk monitoring, et cetera.
Yeah, I'll follow up with that one. Yeah, Danny nailed it. I mean, I think that's one thing we do well compared to maybe other project managers, and not to put them down, but whereas they might focus more on just straight schedule, budget, like the big three there. We very much go in heavy-handed with a good RAID log. We like to anchor down the risks. We like to identify the risks, communicate them to the stakeholders, make sure everybody's aware of the impact they might have on what, to who, so that there's no surprises. And it's really just, it's not overly complicated when you do that. Right. You'll have your technical experts who will really help you identify those risks. It's up to you as a strong, you know, leader of the project or just, you know, a consultant to make sure that everybody knows what could happen and when to make sure that those don't impact the project. Now, some stuff will happen anyway, but as long as everything is communicated well, You can really mitigate a lot of stuff. So us going in with the proper framework and really nailing home, you know, proper cadences, you know, proper communication, proper processes, sets us apart in a lot of ways. And it's a lot of just brilliance in the basics.
Nice. And being a veteran owned and operated company, I feel like that's the kind of value that we bring to the table, having that structure and having that that cadence, like you said, that, you know, stick forward or stick to itness.
Yeah.
And exactly. getting the job done.
Exactly.
So how does Greencastle handle this transition for a company?
Yeah. So one thing we could help with is really coming up with the playbook, mm-hmm. right? So these tend to be long projects, right? Or programs. There may be multiple transitions from legacy to cloud-based systems over the course of years mm-hmm. At a company, right? And so with that, you're going to have personnel shift over time. You're going to have people come and go for whatever reason, both in the IT space as well as on the business side. Mm-hmm. So really what we help do is we help come up with a playbook that if a new player comes on the team, they can see the playbook and know how this team operates.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean? That looks like a good project charter, a good project management plan, clear governance. You know, a lot of people at companies like to maybe point fingers at consultants at a time as like PowerPoint wizards, right? And and we own that without shame because we do feel it provides value to have something firm that can be maintained over time and provide clarity to stakeholders as they enter and exit the project. So with that too, I'd say the succession planning, that seems a little off topic, but we need to make sure that a new leader comes in. The old leader has a clear plan to communicate what's important, mm-hmm. what we're trying to achieve and how we're achieving it. Because we've seen many times where leadership will change mid-project and maybe a different leadership style or something may throw the project awry,
mm-hmm.
Which it's okay to shift over time, but we need to make sure that that's an intentional succession planning and that the current playbook is understood and modified. Instead of kind of just being a start from scratch whenever there's new stakeholders or leadership.
Nice.
Yeah. I think, you know, making everything customizable to the projects themselves and doing kind of like audits throughout. It's definitely okay as you're going through a long-term project, as people change and stuff, to kind of pause and say, is this still working? Is this process still working? Do you guys understand the process? Do you understand why we do this? Do you understand how to do this? You know, because a lot of the people we work with are extremely skilled in the areas that they're specialized in, but they're not project managers maybe. So they don't, you know, you say, hey, put a risk into the RAID log. And they put it in, you're kind of like, oh, that's not how you do it. But they're not supposed to know. That's your job. So I think making sure that you work with these people, again, just over communicating to a point where they just feel really comfortable with the processes. And like Danny said, the PowerPoint stuff, mm-hmm. like writing it down, getting it out there, making sure it's communicated, they know where to find it. We go into a lot of places where even if things are going well, none of this stuff is written down. None of the processes are. Very large companies. And not to say it's a bad thing, but there's a lot of single points of failure when you do that. A lot of institutional knowledge can go out the door when two or three people leave. So to have everything simplified, broken down, written down, where people can find it, everybody's aware of it, again, just really helps a project run smoothly.
Nice. And just in case, just for those, just in case they don't know what the difference between a legacy system is and a cloud-based system, can we just kind of throw that definition out there just so people understand what that means?
Yeah, so a legacy-based system is something that's generally going to be maintained on-premises. So whatever the company is, call it, you know, Company X, they're going to have to maintain their own IT infrastructure, the hardware, the staff to maintain the hardware. And sometimes there's homegrown software systems as well.
Mm-hmm.
It could be, you know, an out-of-the-box software system that's just maintained on-prem. But essentially, that comes with a lot of overhead and burden, which some companies can do, but they're not great at, right? Mm-hmm. We think of finding efficiencies in international trade or something of the sort. It's like we could grow pineapples here in the mainland of the U.S. in the lower 48,
mm-hmm.
but it's easier to grow them in Hawaii, and mm-hmm. they're good at it, and they know what they're doing. So why try to set up all that infrastructure and stuff here when they're really good at it, and it's mutually beneficial if we form that relationship, right?
Right.
So that's why a company might want to transition to the cloud, mm-hmm. is because, okay, they could run their own IT infrastructure, mm-hmm. but they're probably not going to be as good at it. There's probably more risks that they don't know about it when you could kick it to a cloud-based system, whether it's AWS or what have you, that is set up and dedicated to these things. So it really becomes a win-win scenario. But mm-hmm. but the bottom line to answer your question is, it's taking things from being maintained by the client on premises to being maintained by a company who does, you know, data management, IT infrastructure as their primary activity.
Mm-hmm. Nice, nice. That's a great breakdown. Thank you for that.
Yeah, and a lot of times over time, it's not like the legacy was the wrong choice or anything like
that.
At the time, it probably was a great choice. And it probably was the tip of the spear in terms of technology. So as this stuff grows and everything and things become more available, you know, they, you know, it becomes a better choice.
So you take a company like an electric utility company, they're not going to be on the cutting edge of you know, database management and efficiency in that regard. And so when you take a company and you try to make something work that's not your primary activity, yeah, you could hire one or two experts in the field who are good at that, but you're also going to have to maintain a staff. And part of the cost that companies don't always consider, we see this a lot with our data analytics service offering, because in our data analytics service offering, we tend to serve business units, right? Companies have big IT departments. They're usually pretty good. We can help them out if they need, if they have a temporary project where they need extra assistance or a second set of eyes for 3-6 months. But when we get embedded in an operational business unit to help deliver data analytics to them, that is something they could do in-house, right? Just like a company can maintain these legacy systems in-house. But one thing you have to consider in that cost that's often overlooked is when you're going to have people doing that job, say that data analytics job, what you have to provide with that is going to be management, right? So you're going to have to make sure that you have a management structure in place that knows how to manage that talent. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to put in place training so that that talent is being trained and maintaining that cutting edge, et cetera, right? So just like in that data analytics sphere, you're going to have all this supporting infrastructure in order to be able to enable that within the business instead of outsourcing it. It's the same thing with these legacy systems, is you're going to have not just a few experts in these areas, but a whole infrastructure set up to, a whole department set up to maintain that infrastructure and those legacy systems. So that's kind of an often overlooked cost, because it's an ancillary cost, yet a big one that companies need to consider when they're thinking about shifting to the cloud.
Nice. That kind of pushes us into another part of the conversation where I want to ask about how do companies save money moving into this cloud system? Is there a savings there? Is there a way for them to mitigate costs like losses,
things like that? I mean, it's just like Danny kind of said there, like it can be cumbersome maintaining that department, you know, and when you're going through it, when there's no other options, you don't really notice it. It's just business as usual. But when, you know, the cloud-based system comes along, or whatever, new software even, you know, it all falls into the same kind of bucket there. You know, you really do get to put down what is the return on investment here. Like, I can run this with one person. It's mostly automated. It's more efficient. I can get more efficient data out of it. And it's just at the cost of, you know, to the company that we're working with for the cloud-based system. And then you can shift, you know, the focus of those the people who are in the department of managing, you know, that data. Because a lot of times what I've seen, and Dan, I don't know if you know this is true, but these people are working, it's not just their primary focus. It's usually like they start there and then they start to be like, oh, you can do multiple other things. Let's get you involved. So it's like their third focus in what they do. It's usually a cumbersome manual sort of, you know, whatever they need to do with the data. But yeah, it's just a really kind of an easy ROI, but just here's the cost of the cloud-based system. Here's what it costs to manage it. Here's what it costs to manage what we have right now, which is, you know, probably a lot. So,
wow.
Nice. Yeah. And then I have two thoughts there. So one is really predictability is something that comes with cloud, because you go to, like, essentially it may be variable to a sense, but you go to a predictable, essentially monthly payment or some contractual, you know, payment schedule. Whereas with maintaining on-prem systems, you may have large capital expenses for new server hardware unexpectedly, right? So you take basically an intermittent high capex spend to a more predictable, spend over time. Mm. So it's easier when these companies are trying to set their budgets and manage cash flow.
Yeah.
It could be easier for that. And then the second thing I'd throw out is we started the conversation with risks, right? So when you go to any of these cloud providers, one of the main things you're going to see probably on their homepage is their uptime percentage, right? So 99.98% uptime or what have you. That's critical to these businesses. You think an electric utility company, a hospital, anything of the sort, if their data goes down, inaccessible, their applications go down for 10 minutes, that could have a major effect, right?
Yeah,
on their absolutely. On their operations, on their customers, on their reputation. Mm-hmm. So essentially going to the cloud, you mitigate some of the risks of, you know, issues with on-prem systems. Mm-hmm. And you ensure essentially the business upside of always having your systems on and available.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah.
That's something that you don't think about that. You know, like power goes out, systems go down. That's another. Oh, well, you were going to say something.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, like, you transfer a lot of risk in general. It's very similar to, you know, hiring a consultant, you know, or consultant, you know, firm. Like, you know, by hiring them, as a leader, you're kind of transferring the risk of responsibility in a way. You know, it's this was all on us and all on this department, and it could be bad. And now we are guaranteed and probably insured on some level too that they're going to take care of it. And you know, most of these companies, they obviously take that seriously. It's their business. So
absolutely. So here's a wild but kind of obvious question: where is the cloud? This is a question that a lot of people probably wonder, where is this cloud at?
Coming to a warehouse near you.
Yeah.
Just some random place. Yeah, like it's funny because the internet is just kind of like this random place that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It's everywhere but nowhere. So people wonder about where is this data going?
Right.
So yeah, I mean,
yeah, at the end of the day, it's sitting, your data's sitting in a database, on servers, just like it would be on-prem, just in a much better environment.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Just so it is going to be a large industrial warehouse. You know, what we're seeing recently, and I'm not an expert on this subject by any means, but as you're starting to see these data warehouses go in places where the grid can best support, because they do have high energy consumption, right? So, you know, obviously these companies, Google, Amazon, et cetera, know exactly what they're doing, and they're strategically placing their data warehouses or their facilities in places where the grid can support it, where electricity costs are manageable and somewhat stable. With that too, you know, the data moves fast, but you know, location matters as well, and they want to diversify their locations. Oftentimes when things go to the cloud, another benefit of it may be that your data is backed up in two or three places.
That's awesome.
And that's not just two or three servers within your on-prem, you know, IT building. That's two or three locations dispersed around the country, maybe, where your data is backed up. So even if a plant goes down in Illinois, there's one in Florida that's still up, right?
That's very secure. That feels more secure, especially like you have an on-site hard drive that goes bad, and next thing you know, you're in trying to data collection, trying to figure out how to get that data back. In this case, as you're saying, there's multiple versions of your data out there somewhere, where in the cloud at least, where you can pull it down and access it immediately.
And I think it really, like Danny said, it starts off with just us coming in, establishing a strong governance, and being heavy-handed with it, and being customizable with it. You know, again, not to fully compare us to, you know, the bigger consultants or anything like that, but a lot of times what they do is, in working with them, it's more just, here's what we do, here's how we do it, yes or no. And then there can be some changes in there, but it's always, you know, at cost. It's always a discussion about a change request. Where with us, we are very much like, here's what I see, here's what I've experienced, here's what could work for you. Let's see how it goes. And then we can always change it in the middle. You know, we're just a little bit more flexible while giving, you know, that sort of military background drive towards, you know, how we work things. We like to put everything with a purpose. We talked about the RAID log, which it's a huge part of a project, so to keep bringing it up is important, but anchoring risks and issues to actual milestones, anchoring them to cost and schedule is very important, because you can get lost in just saying, yeah, this is a risk, this could happen, what's going to happen if it happens, I don't know, but it'll be bad, you know.
Yeah.
And then you can go down rabbit holes that way, without focusing on actually accomplishing what you need to.
Right.
So by us just making sure that processes are in place, people are following those, people understand them, and over communicating to your stakeholders, or communicating appropriately, I should say, to make sure that everybody feels good about the direction you're going, is just something that, you know, it's a very broad general thing, but that's kind of how we accomplish what we do.
Nice.
Yeah. And Greencastle, you know, one metaphor often used is like a bridge, right? So you have IT, you have business. Yeah. I'd actually add an element to that. It's almost like a third direction coming into that bridge is company leadership, who's guiding the strategy of the company, right? Mm-hmm. So when you think business, you have your business end users, your SMEs, you know your middle management. Mm-hmm. When you think IT, you got your people implementing and maintaining these systems, right? Mm-hmm. Well, ultimately, what's guiding these decisions is business leadership, right? So we kind of sit at this three-way intersection of IT, business, and leadership and stakeholders, right? And it's our job to essentially be a conduit in all directions, provide, really, we want to do basic things well, communication, clarity in process, and communication, right? So if we could provide that leadership, clarity, communication at that intersection, to make sure everyone understands why we're doing things and how it works, then ultimately that's how we help guide these projects to success.
Nice. Yes. Well, guys, thank you so much for this. This conversation is great. I think high level. If anyone didn't understand what legacy to cloud-based meant, I'm sure they know exactly what that means now. So thank you guys so much for your time today on this whole conversation. Is there anything else you want to leave us with before we sign off?
No, I mean, the biggest thing is Danny just said, and I'm shocked it took us this long to get there with the business and IT.
Yeah.
We do a lot of project rescues where that is almost the biggest problem, is that business wants one thing.
Yeah.
IT can only deliver a certain thing, and project leadership is pushing on both to just get it done. And creating a conduit for the three of them to just, I always say, let's just all get in a room and let's just talk it out. Like, you want this, what's the compromise here? Like, right. IT, you say you can only do this, can you actually do this? And then letting the company leadership know this is actually where we're sitting, is something that, just dealing with those three things, is just, because a lot of times they're just at each other's, you know,
It's like button heads and not getting anything done
across all clients too. That's very common.
So I would say, if you're struggling with a legacy to cloud-based transition, that's normal, everyone does, and if you feel like there's some friction points and you need almost a Rosetta Stone between these three parts of your company, then call Greencastle, right? We need, essentially, we serve as a conduit or Rosetta Stone. When the business is speaking business and operations language, IT is speaking data and coding language, and then the company leadership is speaking financial and strategy language. We need a Rosetta Stone in the middle of all that, so that everyone understands each other and all those efforts from everyone's angles are in lockstep moving forward towards that common goal. So, if you need some of that, reach out to Greencastle.
Nice. Wow. Well, thank you guys so much, Danny, Pat. Thank you guys. Make sure you guys like and subscribe. And if you like this content, leave some comments. Let us know what you think about the content that we're putting out.
Al, can we do one of those things where it's like, you know, in the YouTube video, they're like, if you need something, click here.
Yeah.
Let's do one of those.
click here to subscribe. Follow and like. Yeah. Well, definitely leave some comments. Let us know what you thought about this conversation. And we'll see you in the next episode.